Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week, where myself and Joe Patrick probe deep up inside your answers to the question of the week.
We get all right up in there.
Oh, it's gross. Every week, Joe Patrick posts a question. It usually happens on Fridays. It's thought-provoking. It's fun. The question this week was...
It provokes all my thoughts. What creator or creators or creative team, whatever, were you most upset to see leave a title?
This was inspired by the news last week that J.H. Williams and W. Hayden Blackman are leaving Batwoman with the 25th issue.
Well, it was going to be the 26th issue.
Yeah, I got pushed back.
Now it turns out that they're leaving a little earlier than expected.
Regardless, anyway. The good news is several of you had several things to say, and we're going to talk about it today on this here show, Joe Patrick.
Yes.
Shall we start with a Twitter where we ask that if you're going to answer with the Twitter, make sure and use a Twitter hashtag, THNAOW.
But they don't.
I know they don't. I know you guys don't listen. Come on!
Our first Twitter response came from the THN mouthpiece, Ryan Forrest, who says...
I had dinner with him last night.
Hey. He was sad when Brian Michael Bendis left Sam and Twitch.
Okay.
Yeah, Bendis off of... he was writing Sam and Twitch, and then he had just started a new book called Hellspawn.
Yeah.
And this was Bendis before he was anybody, really.
This is right, like, he as he like, was getting his
he
big
He put
break.
Out, like, Jinx and Torso. He'd done his indie stuff, and he was working for McFarlane, and his Sam and Twitch is wonderful.
It was really good.
It's wonderful, and I hate Spawn. Hate him.
I do, too. I hate it. I think I'm allergic to Spawn.
Yeah. And they had a falling out or whatever. Bendis left and went to Marvel, and the rest is history.
I don't know if it was a falling out. I think he just kind of got called up to the big leagues.
You don't just get called up from the big leagues to the big leagues from one company to another.
Sure you do. I mean, like, somebody from Marvel goes, hey, stop writing for Image. We want to pay you real money. You leave.
Well, listen, he's writing for Spawn. Like, Spawn is a popular franchise.
I get that, but they weren't paying Marvel money.
10-some years ago.
They probably weren't paying Marvel money.
Whatever. We don't know why. He's gone, and now he left, and now he's with Marvel. But it was a bummer because same with Twitch. Not worth reading after that.
Nope.
Just stop reading it.
Nope.
Stop it. Moving on. My wife, Michelle Patrick, says she was sad to see Joe Patrick leave Good Plus. Listen, I didn't leave. I'm just on a break. I'm having a break.
I'm trying to get Joe Patrick to work on a Two-Headed Nerd comic.
No, you're trying.
And I need you guys to throw. Actually, you know what? We're going to Kickstarter this. We're going to Kickstarter it, and then you have to
do it. What does that mean, Kickstarter?
I'm going to start a Kickstarter for the Two-Headed Nerd.
But you don't have anything to tempt them with.
Wrong. We'll give them original art and stuff like that. I'll just make you do more work.
Whatever.
Yeah, and you'll have to do it because people threw money at us. I'm doing it.
No, whatever.
I just want you to do a Two-Headed Nerd comic strip starring us and our adventures.
You want me to abandon my other friends for your own personal selfish project.
I will write it. You draw it.
I don't want you to write it. I'm a diva. I want complete creative
control. You can have creative control. We'll share. We'll have 50-50 creative control.
Moving on from this depressing topic, Jerry T. Welcome aboard, Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry T.
Says Fraction and Allred leaving FF. It's happening. Yep. It is a bummer.
It is happening. And it's super bummer because I bet FF is canceled not long after that.
Oh, no.
I don't think anybody else can take those reins and run with it like they did. I really don't.
Nope. FF's a thing now. It'll stick around.
Mm.
Fraction's not the one. Like, that book was a thing before Fraction came.
Nerd bet.
Okay.
I'm putting it up.
Oh.
In our notes. Nerd bet.
Here's the thing.
This is a new thing we're starting. Nerd bet.
If FF ever gets canceled, he's going to look at me and go, what's up?
No, I'm going to give you a number. I'm going to be specific. I'm going to give you a number.
Give me a number.
Hold on. I'm starting it in our Apple Notes. THN nerd bets. Oh, I love this. This is fun. I'm a gambling man. So I'm saying I give it 8 issues canceled.
I'll take that bet.
From the first issue of the new creator, whoever it is, taking over.
Fine.
Nerd bet. There it is.
Boom. You heard it here first.
All right. Moving right along.
Greg Chisholm says, Garth Ennis leaving the Punisher. Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Greg also wonders what the balance is between writers and artists. Like, I don't know if he means like in our opinions and people's opinions. Like, are people going to be more sad about writers leaving or artists leaving?
Okay. Yeah, you know, that's a valid question. And I can say I bet
it's an even mix.
Yeah, I can tell you that I've been affected equally by both.
Yeah. He also says he was bummed when Warren Ellis left the Thunderbolts.
I was too.
I was okay with it because I didn't really like that version of the Thunderbolts.
Oh, I loved it, man. I thought it was fun.
Brian DuPont says Francis Manapul's off the Flash. It's true.
It's true.
Announced this week.
So is Brian Buccioletto.
Buccioletto. He says, I don't think I can handle another creative team change at this moment. It's been a rough season, though the Green Lanterns are going pretty good.
Yeah. Green Lantern's not bad.
And our last tweeter comes from Andrew Mirzak, who used the THN AOW hashtag.
Andrew Mirzak, huh?
Ever faithful.
We can count on that guy. He's also, really, I'd like to say, answers every week, I'm pretty sure.
Almost every question.
Love that guy. Nice job, Andrew.
Says Mark Waid and Ron Garney getting kicked off of Captain America to be replaced by some guy. It was Rob Liefeld.
Oh, that's true.
What dumb editor-in-chief would think that's a good idea?
Man.
It was probably Bob Harris.
That was right after Man Without a Country, right?
Yeah, Man Without a Country. Yeah. Yes.
I loved that storyline.
But then when Heroes Reborn ended, Waid and Garney came back.
Yeah, because everyone was like, we want them back.
Garney did not stay on the book for too much longer. Waid lasted, I think, 2 years.
He was there for a while. It was really good.
Moving over to Facebook, Justin O'Connor sent in a response that I can't figure out.
Okay.
Whether or not he's making fun of me or being sincere.
He's making fun of us.
I don't know. It sounds pretty sincere. Here he says this. The only time it ever upset me was when Mark Bagley left the New Warriors. Despite all of his characters having the same face, the art was crisp and his speedball was perfect for me. Derek Robertson drew people that looked like they were made of wet clay and drooped on the ground compared to Bagley. That sounds very sincere.
Yeah, I think he's being totally sincere.
And I can't believe I have this common ground with him.
There you go.
Stephen Kohler says, in the last couple of years, I'd say I was most upset by one creator leaving two books. First, Stegman left Scarlet Spider to do Fantastic Four, and then it felt like he only did FF for a few issues.
He only did it for four.
Yeah. I wanted to see a long run of Stegman on Fantastic Four.
I would have liked that, too. And I remember when Stegman, I was at C2E2, and Ryan Stegman, I went up to talk to him. I'm like, hey, man, love your art and everything. He's like, I'm sorry. I'm all freaked out. And I was like, what's going on? He's like, I just found out I'm getting Fantastic Four. He's like, don't tell anybody. I have to announce it. And I was like, oh, my God, that's great. And he was so excited. And he did four issues. It was really weird.
Yeah, but four great issues.
Yeah, they were good. But, I mean, like, four?
He did the end of Hickman's run.
Yeah.
I mean.
And it was good. Yeah. I thought he was going to be there longer. But I think what happened was he did the end of Hickman's run, and then they announced something was going on. Like, there was the big shake-up, switch-up, or whatever.
Well, Marvel Now happened.
Yeah, where everybody was standing up and moving one chair over, basically.
Yeah, essentially. Aaron Myers, King of Ask Nerd, writes in saying, in recent memory, there are a couple I'm really sad to see go. First, Ailes Cott, or Alice.
Okay.
On Suicide Squad.
K-O-T-T.
K-O-T.
K-O-T.
I think he had the potential to make that a great book, and he was cut off before he even got a chance to start, really.
I did not like it.
I don't like Suicide Squad, but I didn't read his issues, so I don't know. Second, Fraction leaving FF and Fantastic Four is a bummer.
Yeah.
I think that run could have been as good, if not better, than his Iron Man, but it won't have time to grow like that one did.
And we haven't had any announcement as to who comes on next, either.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, we have. Yeah,
Who is it? Who is it?
Carl Kessel.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Carl Kessel is writing, co-writing one of them. The other one, I think, is being co-written by Mike and Laura Allred. Huh. So, I mean, that's not so bad.
No. That's not so bad. Carl Kessel, that's a weird choice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting the details wrong, but this is not the news show.
Right.
So, okay. I'm just going off of memory.
Okay.
Michael Robertson says, Morrison on Superman. He should have been given the keys to the Fortress of Solitude and left alone for years.
Agreed.
I agree in principle, but you leave him alone for too long and you get a lot of weird stuff like on his Batman run.
He'll go batshit crazy.
But contain him to one good year and out, then you get All-Star Superman.
Yeah, you're going to have a lot of
fun.
I don't know.
I'm kind
of
torn. Like, I would love to have Morrison shape the adventures of Superman in a real way and not this new 52 Superman.
Yeah.
But part of me thinks that if you give him too much time and too much leeway, It's going to go off the rails. Chris Davis says, when DC kicked Gail Simone off Batgirl, I was livid. Thankfully, they gave her the title back.
It's true.
That's the internet. Internet spoke out in fury.
Yes.
Andrew Morrison says, when Mike Mignola stopped drawing Hellboy, it lost some of its magic. That man uses black like none other.
True.
I'm glad he's back doing Hellboy in Hell. I agree, but I did love Duncan Fegredo's Hellboy.
I loved his stuff. I thought it looked great.
Yeah, but I understand what he means. It's not exactly the same. It does.
Sure.
You know, when Mignola is firing on all cylinders, doing all the work.
Yeah.
It's really special.
I felt the same when Guy Davis left BPRD. I was just so used to seeing Guy Davis draw that book and draw the frogs and draw the monsters. But I love how it looks. It's still really good. Don't get me wrong. Everybody that's jumped on is doing a great job. I do miss Guy Davis on that book a lot.
I agree. Wade Lyles says, when Brubaker left Daredevil, I feel like it was before he finished his whole story. I would have loved to have seen his take on Matt Murdock running the Hand, being a good guy doing bad things for the sake of a bigger, better picture. Would have been way cooler than what Diggle did. Though I feel like editorial had their way with that whole Shadowland shitstorm event.
I think so, too.
It's probably not Diggle's fault I didn't enjoy it. We'll never know. John Boucher writes in with an epic. And here it goes.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to cheat a bit here and use a title where the creator left because the title ended. But I think it still counts because it ended prematurely and was replaced by a similar but inferior title.
Counts.
Okay. I'm talking about Gail Simone on Secret Six.
Yes.
This was one of my first monthly books I started picking up when I first started reading comics, and it set the bar so high.
It was so damn good.
For books that I picked up since. Not only was Simone able to make me care about seemingly lame or one-note characters like Catman or Deadshot or King Shark, she made me care about them more than I've ever cared about anyone in a big two superhero book, with the possible exception of The Runaways. She was able to walk a fine line between making the villains into complex, relatable characters while still not forgetting who they were and how they earn a living. You could sympathize with them, but you wouldn't want to ever meet any of them.
Yes.
A prime example of this is the story arc in which Bane falls in love for the first time.
Oh, so good.
A brief aside, Simone wrote the best Bane I've ever read.
Agreed.
Hilarious without breaking character. After sleeping with his new love interest for the first time, he politely says, I thank you for the use of your nethers. It's awesome. Anyway, Bane falls in love, and just when you think Simone's going soft on us, she uses this new emotion to make Bane realize that just as he cares about this new woman's safety more than he cares about his own, so must Batman care more about his loved ones than himself, and he turns that into a plan to murder the entire Bat family. Really great stuff.
Yeah.
Sadly, the book ended right when this arc was heating up with the launch of the New 52, and I was hit with the double disappointment of both seeing some of these characters incorporated into the one-dimensional 90s throwback Suicide Squad and seeing Simone put out a pretty forgettable Batgirl series that doesn't even have half of the spark that Secret Six had. Wowzers.
Couldn't agree more.
John Boucher, MVP of Answer of the Week.
Could not agree
Every
more.
Time.
I loved Secret Six. Totally loved it. And he's right. The really hard thing to do when you're writing a book about bad guys is to not soften those bad guys so that we feel sorry for them, but to write them so that they are relatable and still bad. That is definitely the hardest thing. And she nailed it. It was excellent. I miss that book.
I did too, man.
Desperately.
I did too. Well said, John.
You know what? I'm going to go further. I miss that Gail Simone.
Yes.
I miss the hell out of her.
I agree. John came back to say, one day I'll leave you guys a voicemail instead of a novel to read, I promise.
Yes, call us, you wiener.
But it is not this day.
It is not this day.
Corbett Getman.
Welcome aboard, Corbett.
Welcome aboard, Corbett. Garth Ennis on Hellblazer. Damn, I love that run.
Right on.
That's a good run, man. Stephen Dowell says, John Byrne on Alpha Flight. I was 13, and man, I sulked for weeks when I found out. And the fact that the art was now by the distinctly un-Byrne-like Mike Mignola did not help. In my defense, I was 13.
It was a weird Mike Mignola. It was a weird time for Mike Mignola.
No, it's just young Mike Mignola.
I know, and I remember it as well. I was just like, what the hell is this? Later, Mike Mignola became my favorite, and now I have his art tattooed all over my left shoulder.
There you go. Buzzy Brown Brennan, the Triple B, says, Greg Rucka off Batwoman. J.H. Williams III and W. Hayden Blackman have done a great job with the new series, but it's just not the same.
It does feel like Greg Rucka light.
The Detective Comics run with Rucka and Williams was amazing, and it would have been nice to see continue as an ongoing.
Yes.
If for no other reason than to see Williams handling all of the artistic duties instead of having to worry about writing. No, I take that back. I want Rucka on it, too. Damn it.
Sorry, buddy.
I don't know what that means. He kind of makes it sound like he wants Rucka to draw it.
No, I think he means he just wants Rucka writing it and J.H. Williams drawing it. Still good.
Suck it, Batwoman fans. Batwoman's not as good as it used to be.
It's still good, but definitely not as good as Rucka's Batwoman.
Gregory Litchfield says, as you may remember, this old codger has been reading these here funny books since the invention of the printing press. By now, I'm used to writers and artists leaving books after very short runs, so I either roll with it for the love of the title or drop it and pick up whatever the creators have gone on to do.
I'm sorry, what is this guy's name?
Gregory Litchfield.
Can we make him the official THN old timer?
He's the official THN old timer.
All right.
The first writer and artist team that I remember really enjoying was Doug Mensch and Paul Gulacy on the Hands of Shang-Chi.
Right on!
Master of Kung Fu. Gulacy's art evolved into near photorealism, and Mensch wrote scripts to take advantage of this, allowing whole pages for fight scenes that were photo-referenced from Bruce Lee films. That partnership ended with issue 51 of Master of Kung Fu. Gulacy was replaced by Jim Craig, who made matters worse by trying and failing miserably to imitate Gulacy's style. To add insult to injury, Paul Gulacy did one of his beautiful movie poster-like covers for that issue. Being a younger comic book collector at the time, I kept reading Master of Kung Fu, and thankfully, Mike Zeck took over the art with issue 54.
Love Mike Zeck.
Still, not even Mensch, who stayed on the title until its cancellation, and Gene Day's late run on the title would ever compare to the team of Mensch and Gulacy. People love that run of Master of Kung Fu, and I have never read it.
It was... Really?
Never.
Shame on you.
I know. Our last Facebook response comes from David Guffey, and it's a mouthful, so settle in.
Welcome aboard, David Guffey?
Nah, he's written before.
Okay.
But still, we're glad to have him.
We're glad to have you, David Guffey.
His biggest disappointment came when John Byrne left the Fantastic Four. I was seriously disappointed. I had read comics since I was old enough to read at all, and I think I remember getting my first comic at about age 6 in 1973. And I discovered Byrne's run on FF with issue 243, and this was the first title that really captured my attention and kept it. And that was all because of Byrne. Because Byrne made the stories fun, and I cared about the characters he was writing about. I'm going to edit David just a little bit here because he has a lot of very loving things to say, and you can read the whole post on our Facebook page. But he says, Byrne's stories were cohesive and just plain old super fun. The stories connected and ran over multiple issues, and they had overarching storylines that played out over the entire run. Of course, I enjoyed the artwork. I really think it was the FF run where Byrne really developed and refined his style. No one was as prolific and did so much so well. There may have been artists that were flashier and prettier to look at in some ways, but when you look at the totality of the work and the amount of detail, he was panel for panel the best and maybe still is.
I agree with that. Was. I'm not going to say still is.
Listen, where I really think he's overlooked is as a storyteller. People have gone crazy for Frank Miller's writing for years. While I enjoy the hard-boiled style, I think Byrne has the ability to make comic books as they should be, entertaining, engrossing, and just plain old fun.
Totally agree.
I understand he's not everyone's favorite person. I've never met the man, but I know that when I was about 12 or 13, I sent a letter off to Marvel with a self-addressed stamped envelope, and a few months later, I got it back with a card signed by Byrne.
Aww.
That made him pretty freaking okay in my book. Byrne's art is still a distinctive and classic take on the medium, much like Kirby was and still is. I see nods to his style on comic covers and artwork today. I also think that the FF was really the high point in his career, even considering his run on X-Men. He's done some really nice work since, but nothing that stands out for me like the FF run. Although I haven't been reading the FF for many years, I still remember all of those stories fondly, and if he were to do another run, I'd be the first in line to pick it up.
Right on.
That's very well said.
I loved his Fantastic Four run. I loved it when I was young.
Yeah. I encourage you guys to go to our Facebook page and read David's whole post. He's just has a lot of great examples, compares it to some of his more recent work for Dark Horse and his creator-owned stuff. It really is a love letter to an artist that I think, you know, though he is certainly kind of crazy, is definitely a legend, and you can't argue with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One of the best. No doubt about it. There's no question. But you know what? David, be even cooler if you called us.
Like, Google would have cut him off at 3 minutes.
That's true. Google would cut you off. So you'd have to sum it up. It'd be great. Google did not cut off Nathan Bradford. He came in at 2 minutes and 14 seconds. Let's hear what he had to say.
Greetings, Two-Headed Nerd. Nathan Bradford with my answer to the question of the week. Going through recent history, I can probably say that Rick Remender leaving Uncanny X-Force was a huge blow. Just the stories they was telling were so complex and character rich. At least he was able to leave the title with a conclusion. But such is the circle of life, when one door closes, another one opens. There's actually now two X-Force titles with two different creators. The new Uncanny X-Force, it basically picks up from where the Remender title left off, with a new Phantom X, which is literally in love with himself slash herself, and I'm just not into it. Just not the same Uncanny X-Force. And strangely enough, there's Cable in X-Force, which is basically the mutant equivalent of the A-Team, with Cable being the Hannibal of the group, and I've actually been enjoying that thoroughly, which is kind of surprising for me because I'm not really a huge Cable fan, nor have I ever really been a huge Cable fan, but definitely a very enjoyable title. That's what my opinion is, and you have yourself a great day. Thanks.
Nathan Bradford calls in every week. What a guy. Totally agree. I like the A-Team reference. I hadn't thought of it like that, but I like that A-Team reference, and I like Cable Man.
Framed for a crime they didn't commit.
More than I like Uncanny X-Force, but I do like Uncanny X-Force.
I can't get into Uncanny X-Force.
Really?
Nope.
I'm still digging it. I'm still digging it. Maybe
I read the first two,
there,
just like not, I don't care.
I'm still digging on it. But I agree, when Rick Remender left Uncanny X-Force, now they did end the book, so he didn't so much leave as much as maybe he told a story and he was done.
Yeah.
But it counts. Totally
counts. Totally counts. He wrapped up his run, but yeah, I mean, he took that book and made something amazing out of it.
Yeah, so. Really did.
Yeah.
Next up, it looks like our boy Harvey Locust gave us a call. Let's see here.
I think he called twice. I think he was going to get a little, he's going to get his drink on and get angry and call us.
Oh.
That's what he threatened anyway.
Well, let's see what happened.
Hey, Matt and Joe and all you listeners out there. Like they said, this is Harvey Locust calling in my answer of the week. And this is it. J.H. Williams III and W.H. I mean, W. Hayden Blackman and H.R. Puff and Stuff leaving Batwoman. WTF. That's right, boys and ghouls. I am extremely disappointed about this turn of events. I went and looked into other things that I was interested in before, and no, none of them compare to this diabolical deal that is going on. It was in D.C. It was this shit. Erase this, man. I'm too drunk for this. I'll call back later.
Wait. Well, you can guarantee that that's going to get played.
Oh, yeah,
in its
that's
going to
make the air. It's going to need some editing, but I totally agree.
New directive. You get a double high five if you call in to the answer of the week totally hammered.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm into it. I'm into it.
I am really into
it. You call us wasted, I guarantee you make the air.
Oh, man.
Looks like good old trustworthy Camarillo Brillo hits us with our final call this week.
Hello, Two-Headed Nerd. It's Camarillo Brillo. Just checking in after a couple weeks of not doing it, and I feel like a jerk. But I actually have an answer this week. So, which creator left a title and left me empty inside? I would have to say that it would be on the New Mutants, when Sienkiewicz left, I can pronounce that now, I wanted to show that off. But when Sienkiewicz left, you know, after the crazy Demon Bear saga and some of the other weirdness going on, I kind of lost interest in the book, even though I went back and read it and it's actually really good. And he wasn't on it to start with, you know. His art was so good for stories that were almost catered to his weirdness, that it kind of became the new standard that I judged the book by. I mean, this is a book that had Team America crime-fighting super stunt motorcyclists involved in it. and had sentinels attacking teenagers at a shopping mall. So it wasn't the highest quality book to start with, but just when he was on it, it was fantastic. And then afterwards, I kind of reminded myself, you know what, I don't really like mutants that much anyway, and I kind of quit reading it. But
that's racist, Carl.
Like I said, I bought them, and I've had some fun with them, and have a nice little run of them in my collection now from Legends Comics and Coffee. But yeah, that's my answer. And Sienkiewicz. Thank you. Bye.
You even snuck a plug in there. That's good. You'll definitely get on the air if you plug. You definitely will.
But you have to say the name of the store right.
Yeah.
It's Legend with no S.
I loved that New Mutants run. And at the time, it was super weird.
Never read it.
Really?
I have parts of it.
Oh, my God. All this is coming out.
I've just never cared about the New Mutants.
Oh, God.
Never really cared about the New Mutants.
I love the New Mutants. Love them.
I mean, I like the characters individually, but I've never really been invested in that book.
I treasure that run. I have it start to finish. I treasure that run. I'll never get rid of it. Totally love it.
Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, ours, why don't we move along to our answers? We'll keep them short and sweet. We're not going to ramble forever. Joe Patrick, do you want to go first?
I feel like that was directed at me.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
Well, let me tell you a story about a young boy collecting. I've got two, and they popped into my head immediately, and they're both writers, believe it or not, though I am very visually inclined, and I do get upset when artists leave books. I often find that I find things to enjoy in the new artist as well. So, like, when Mark Bagley left New Warriors,
yeah,
I did not hate Derek Robertson. I was like, oh, this guy is kind of good,
okay.
You know? And
okay.
Though I did love Mark Bagley, he went on to do other things, very famously Amazing Spider-Man. So
true.
I know that an artist leaving a book does not mean that they're going to not be doing work.
Right.
Right. So, but for me, two writers leaving titles that impacted me greatly were Mark Waid leaving The Flash and Peter David leaving The Hulk.
Both are great answers. Those are both excellent answers.
Both are long-term, almost decade-long runs.
Yeah.
Peter David may have been on The Hulk for more than 10 years, actually. Mark Waid, I think...
I want to say, yeah.
I think Mark Waid only wrote it for 8. I could be wrong. Those runs, I hold them in such high regard that I just could not imagine enjoying the book as much as I did when those guys left.
Yeah.
And luckily, you know, we got Geoff Johns on Flash, but after the Hulk, after Peter David left the Hulk, we had a long, long stretch of me not giving two shits about the Incredible Hulk comic. We got a terrible relaunch written by John Byrne, followed by an equally terrible, well, not equally terrible, differently terrible, run by Paul Jenkins.
It was terrible.
Before Bruce Jones. Hey, remember Hulk Dogs from
Ugh.
The incredible from the Ang Lee Hulk movie?
Ugh.
You can thank Paul Jenkins for that. He invented that.
Yep.
And then Bruce Jones took it over. And at first, I was like, oh, this is actually pretty decent. And then by like year 4 of a conspiracy that never ends, I can clearly look back and go, nope, it was bad.
Okay.
It's not good.
All right.
So those two writers leaving those books impacted me more than any other creators.
Fair enough.
Matt Baum, what do you got?
I'm going to go writer, artist. Writer, I'm going to say Chuck Dixon leaving Green Arrow and all the Batman titles. Because what he was doing on Green Arrow and Batman at that time was so solid.
But it's not like he left all those books all at the same
time. He didn't leave them all at the same time, but I felt the same way about him leaving both, is what I'm saying.
It's not like he stormed out.
No.
Right?
No. He developed Connor Hawke, who was the son of Ollie, as Green Arrow, and nobody liked it at first. Everyone was pissed that they killed Ollie. Nobody wanted to read these Connor stories. He made Connor Hawke into one of like the most interesting new second generation characters. Like, I love Connor Hawke as much as I love characters like Wally West and characters like I love
That's a bold
Kyle
statement.
Rayner. And then the whole deal was, this is your Green Arrow, deal with it. And he was for a long time. Now, I was fine with it when Ollie came back. It was a good story. The way that he wrote
and
Batman...
And Ollie was not gone as long as Barry Allen
definitely
was gone.
Not. Definitely not. And like the way that he wrote Batman were just these perfect street-level detective stories going on. I mean, he brought in the bad guys here and there, but it wasn't really so much a superhero book because it was really a detective book. and his Nightwing as well. So excellent.
I do love
it was
Chuck
so
Dixon's
excellent.
Nightwing.
It killed me when he left those books. Absolutely killed me. Artist, and this is me speaking as a young lad, when Jim Lee left the X-Men, it broke me in half. Like, seriously. I mourned the loss of Jim Lee, and that was the only reason that I started reading Wildcats. It's like, all right, I'll go wherever he goes. Like, whatever. I don't care.
And the rest is history.
It killed me. It absolutely killed me. Yeah, when Jim Lee left the X-Men, I died a little bit. So Chuck Dixon and Jim Lee, those are my answers. I was trying to think of another artist that really, like, blew me up when he left. And I almost said Grant Morrison leaving the JLA, because I don't think the JLA has been the same since Grant Morrison left it.
I think that if I were to pick an artist, all of my answers would be Mark Bagley, because he always leaves a book. He left New Warriors and I was devastated. And then he went on to Amazing Spider-Man and left that and I was devastated. And then he left Ultimate Spider-Man and I was devastated. So, Mark Bagley, stop leaving books.
Knock it off.
Oh, yeah, he left the Thunderbolts and I was devastated.
That's it for the answer of the week this week, guys. Joe Patrick will put up a new question on Friday, and we cannot encourage you to call us enough. If you want to do so, you can reach us at our Ziggurat Direct line at 402-819-4894. That phone number is also on our website if you want to go and find it. Or you can Skype us if you're overseas at Two-Headed Nerd, all one word, no spaces. Can't wait to hear from you guys. And you'll get another exciting episode of the Two-Headed Nerd hitting this weekend. Hope everything's good. Hope you guys are okay.
We miss you. Call your mother.
We miss you. Don't forget to call your mother.
Maybe I'll call back tomorrow. Maybe I won't. She's gone!